All right, take your Bibles and turn once again to the book of Philippians. I wasn't trying to be negligent along this line. There were items that came along, special speakers and such. But I looked at my records and I thought, my soul, I haven't preached out of the book of Philippians for 2 months. So now we're back. I'm kind of calling an audible on some issues and items that we're going to be looking at tonight. At this, I want us to be very prayerful. I don't plan on going long. I'm not going to be able to finish our passage tonight. But I hope and pray that we carefully, very carefully, take a look at what we're going to see and think. And just, you know, meditate on the place and the time that the Lord has put us and what we see here that we're commanded to do. Philippians chapter 2, I'd like to read verses 1 through 11. That is going to be our focus tonight and, Lord willing, next Sunday night. Philippians chapter 2 will begin in verse 1. If there be any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded. Now listen to that. Ye be like-minded. Having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vain glory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. Let's stop there real quick. What's fascinating, what I love, and you can do this as well, to see the words that are used in the Greek that give the nuances here that makes it such a joy to study this. You'll see what I mean. Verse 8, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, things in earth, things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. This is absolutely one of the greatest passages in the New Testament concerning our walk in Christ. It's a yard wide and a mile deep. And I hope and pray that we can take this seriously. We will listen to what the Lord is seeking to teach us here, because in this day and age, we're going to need it, and we need it badly. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that you would help at this time. Lord, guide my thoughts. Guide our thoughts in your word. Lord, as we see what we're in, we see the situation, we see the substance of the world and the culture and the direction that it's going. Lord, help us to understand that how we think and what we meditate on is of utmost importance, and what we live out. We are here for a definite, definite purpose. And so, Lord, help, I pray. In Christ's name, amen. My wife and I were driving down the road a couple of days ago, and I said, I don't get it. I have got this urge, and I can't shake it. I want to get on the road, and I just want to go. I want to travel. And she said, well, you know, honey, a year ago right now, we were in the truck. We were on our way to McCarricker to go camping. And I thought, that's it. You know, I'm starting to think, my subconscious is thinking, vacation. You know, I don't, maybe I'm the only one that deals with this sin. But there are times that I'd like to set things aside. How many of you would like to take a 6-month vacation? Yeah. And the fact of the matter is, just about none of us can afford it. But also the fact of the matter is, I can't do it because there's a calling on my life and there's a calling on your life. Now, we can take some time off. 5 o'clock this afternoon, we had the teenagers here. Praise God, we had 3 teenagers. Jonathan and Ashley and Mason were here. And we went over again how you lead a person to Christ. By the way, I'd like to ask you, if you had to do it, if somebody walked up to you and said, look, I went to a church service, I am burdened by my sin, I'm convicted, how do I trust Christ as my Savior? What does it mean to be born again? How many of you remember Congressman Dick Armey? You remember him from Texas? He was one of the higher-ups in Congress, the House of Representatives. And he asked one of the young men that was there with us in Washington, D.C. This young man had worked on his re-election campaign. Dick Armey said, I remember you and this other young man, how you acted and how you lived when you were working with me. He said, my wife two years ago, trusted Christ as her Savior. She has changed. He said, I want to know what this getting saved is all about. And that young man led Congressman Dick Armey to Christ. Now, you know, it's not always that easy. But can I tell you something? We need to get another burden. We need to get a passion. I'm looking at people here that God has placed here that He says, you need to catch a vision. My wife and I have talked several times. In fact, some of us have talked about in the last 2 to 3 years, how many people have moved away. It's been hard to see that happen. I miss the people that went down to Cortland. I miss the Bushies. I miss other people. You know, the Robles. I miss people that have moved away. And I praise God for people that have come. And this isn't about just simply numbers. But it's getting me to think this. The Lord is giving us opportunity to have a burden for the lost, to see seats that were at one time filled by other people, to see them filled by somebody new. We don't need to pray in people from other churches. We need to pray in people into the kingdom. Amen? That's what we need. Again, we've started now the visitation again. The weather's getting better. It's trying to. I think it's going to do it. But every other week, we're going to be having the teens go out at 5 o'clock. You know, we're going to be looking at something where the Apostle Paul looks at the church at Philippi and says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Now, he wasn't talking about the entire mind of Christ, but he was talking about a specific place. And he says, how Jesus thought, you need to think as well. Back on the back wall over here, we have a banner that tells another area where how Jesus thought. The fields are white unto harvest. Now, there's times we just need to have a revival. I mean, we need to confess sin. That's why I preached what I preached the first Sunday that we got back. We need to set aside the weights and the besetting sins. We need to be right with God. I beg of you, if you are toying with sin in the privacy of your life, Don't reap what you sow when it comes to sin. Reap righteousness. Let's get this thing serious. I got to thinking about this and hinting it to the teens at this. And we all need to understand this. Are you taking time to read your Bible? I don't want a raise of hands because I'm sure there are people in here that struggle with it. But are you taking time to read your Bible? These are things that need to be done on purpose. If you don't have a time, you're not taking the time. It's the thing, excuse me, it's the same thing with prayer. If you don't have a time, if you don't have a place, you're not praying. Now, I know the place, and really honestly, the time can be adjustable. You know, the psalmist said, evening and morning and at noon will I pray. We can be in a constant state of prayer. We can pray places. But there also needs to be a time when we get together with a prayer list because there are people that need to be prayed for. How many of you have specific names that you're praying for? Raise your hand. Absolutely. I mean, there are people that just need prayer. It also goes regarding giving the gospel. If we're not there, if we don't have a time and a place, if we're not determining to do this, and I know everybody can't go door to door. I understand that. But there are ways to reach out. I mean, my soul, the technology that we have. But if we're not doing that, we're failing. I've told you before that I lay at the feet of pastors, including this pastor, ultimately, the failure of America. We can be preaching. We ought to have been preaching. There is a boldness that we have ought to have had. And this last week, the Lord, I believe, has been dealing with me on that. I'm not talking about railing on people. I'm not talking about that. But folks, the other side is in this for real. Satan is in this for real. The Lord is in this for real. Go ye into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. The Lord has a mindset. How many of you recognize that Satan has a mindset as well? He hates God. By the way, he hates us as well. I got an example of this again. And I'm going to read this over. I've kind of perused it somewhat. There was an editorial this weekend in the New York Times. Christians need to quit calling homosexuality sin or else. Now see, again, when the other side means business, you've got to understand that you do one of two things. You either fold up or you start to mean business how your commander-in-chief means business. I mean, this is absolutely amazing. First of all, the guy is incredibly ignorant that brings this along, but this is in the old gray lady. This is the New York Times. Quote, human understanding of what is sinful has changed over time, unquote. That's not him saying it. He's quoting a guy that calls himself an evangelical Christian. For a very long time, quote, many Christians thought slavery wasn't sin until we finally concluded that it was. Excuse me. There's a whole lot that is left out of there. By the way, when it came to the battle of slavery, guess who was on what side? Let's put it this way. Jesus Christ, in Him, you're free. If you go with it. Quote, in the United States, we have abandoned the idea that women are second class, inferior, and subordinate to men, but the Bible clearly teaches that. Said a United Methodist pastor who absolutely knows nothing of what he's talking about. But listen to this. this fella that calls himself an evangelical said this: conservative Christian religion is the last bulwark against full acceptance of LGBT people. This is what we're up against. And we have to have a mindset. We have to have wisdom. We're not preaching hate. I've never walked up to somebody like that and said, hey, when I was over there at the prayer meeting at the Capitol, when I was there, it wasn't our side that was showing hate. We were praying. We were praying for people. It was the other side that came around, just a few, but one. And when a Christian woman put her hand on this young man's shoulder, he's the one that got angry and took, you know, went away and yelled at her and kept yelling as he walked away. We're not the ones that do the spitting. We're not. We preach God so loved the world. That means everybody that has ever lived in the world and is living now. But you and I are going to be misunderstood. And in that misunderstanding, we're going to be hated. So that's why we need to get into this passage. And we need to take it bit by bit and understand that the Lord is trying to bring us to a place by His Word with the power of the Spirit to let this mind be in you. Because how you think and what you meditate on is important. In fact, it makes you, you. If you keep thinking bitter thoughts about people, guess what you're going to be? If you keep thinking hateful thoughts, if you keep thinking apathetic thoughts, I don't care, I don't care, I don't care, you're going to live a life that shows that you don't care. So we need to understand, like I said this morning, the fact of the matter is, in ministry, so much of ministry is about this: getting ready for the time when we walk through that veil and we stand before Christ. I'm looking at people right now, every person, there is not one person that this will not happen to. Every person here is going to stand before Christ and will give an account. And as Ron Comfort said, that's a narrative. Our lives are going to be, as it were, on trial. Not our sin, but how we lived. So we're going to go to Philippians chapter 2. We're going to ask the Lord to guide us, because our heart's cry ought to be, oh, to be like Him. First of all, the Apostle Paul had a reason why he was talking to the church at Philippi the way he did. So I want us to see, number one, if you're taking notes, number one, Paul's approach. Paul's approach. Look at verse 1. And you also, when you look at this, stop and think, look what we have. Verse 1. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies. Now, what Paul is doing, he's hearkening back to verse 27. Listen to verse 27, Philippians 1. Only let your conversation, your manner of life, be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. On the basis of this is what we have, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit. That's not talking about the Holy Spirit. That's talking about your spirit, how you approach these things. That you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Paul had a great God-given desire. He desired the Philippians to serve the Lord, listen, with singleness of heart and mind. Now, this is what this means. We're not looking at everybody has to think the same thing on everything. There are places that we might differ. But when it comes to serving God, when it comes to our passion for this, when it comes to the commands of God and the fact that we are called to be obedient bondservants of Christ, we're there. Now, you have different gifts than I do. There are some people that they're better at certain aspects of the biblical, of Christian life than others. For instance, I'm not as deep as Brother Mike Kelly. I'm not. Brother Kelly, you showed that the three times that you presented on apologetics. I'm just not that deep. I'm also not someone that can, I mean, when it comes to the gift of helps, I've never seen anybody like Brad, who, by the way, I believe the Lord is also using to be a great teacher. And are you? There are some of you, you're going to be able to reach people that I can't reach because of how you are. Some of you, I'm telling you, the Lord has given you a burden for prayer. We all need to be praying, but some, they're there. But the point is, the Apostle Paul, knowing, sensing that there was a fracturing a little bit in the church at Philippi, he is calling them to have a singleness, a passionate desire. Now, I believe, to a degree, we have that here, and I rejoice in it, except we need to step it up. We need to step it up. Absolutely. When he says this, if, you see the word if at the beginning? He says, you could take that word if and either put the word since. This is how they used it when the King James was translated, or in view of the fact. In view of the fact that, for instance, there is consolation in Christ. That word consolation means encouragement, admonition. It was a ground of appeal based on the life of Christ. So this is what Paul is saying. In view of the fact that there is encouragement because of how Christ lived, he was the victor while he was here on earth. Because he is victorious, we are victorious. So in view of the fact of that, and then he says, if any comfort of love, a tenderness, a tender persuasion is what that talks about, that comes from divine love. In view of the fact of how Christ lived, in view of the fact that from God we have a love that mankind does not have, and it has a tenderness about it. And then he says, if any fellowship of the Spirit. The word fellowship there has the idea of a common interest. When the Holy Spirit comes into us, we wind up starting to grow towards a common interest in Christ. The gospel, the spread of the gospel, living a holy life. What's the word holy mean? Again, when I was talking to the teenagers, I said, you know what? This word holy has kind of fallen out of use. People think it, you know, they get a connotation of it like, well, you're a stuck-up Christian. No. The word holy has to do with being separated unto. If you're not separated unto the Lord Jesus Christ, you might be a Christian, you might be a believer in Christ, but you've embraced the world. Listen, this world is not my home, we sing. Amen? I mean, the Apostle Paul said, the cross of Christ has crucified me to the world and the world to me. That's what that's talking about there. So he talks about this fellowship, a common interest. We are literally joint participants with the Holy Spirit. He's saying, in view of the fact that this is the case here. And then he says, if there be any bowels and mercies. The word bowels has the idea of tenderheartedness. Tenderheartedness. In view of the fact, excuse me, that in Christ we have His life, we have the comfort of godly love, the tenderness. If we have any fellowship, a joint participation in the Holy Spirit, that's the Holy Spirit there. And then he, bowels and mercies, again, bowels being tender-heartedness, mercies, compassionate yearnings. If there's any of that, he says, listen, look at verse 2. He says, fulfill ye my joy. In view of the fact, he says, look what we have. And then number two, for verse two, hey, look what we can do. Look what we can do. Fulfill ye my joy. The Apostle Paul spoke much about joy. There's verses that I could take you to, but we don't have time right now. He said, fulfill ye my joy. He had joy in the Lord. But it's almost like he's saying, I'm at 99%. Fill my cup all the way up. Fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord. That phrase, one accord, literally means soul with soul. Again, there are places, because we are individuals, we'll have nuances that make us think differently in some places. But when it comes to our calling in Christ, hey, we are knit together because we're in Him. We have a fellowship. You know what I mean. We've talked about this before. You run into a Christian, you've never met that person, but there's a bond. There's absolutely a bond there. We don't want to let that go. But it was being let go in Philippi. How many of you have ever been in a church where there were factions and dissensions? Raise your hand. Did you enjoy that? That's disgusting. It doesn't have to be. The Apostle Paul, in the richest language, is coming to the church at Philippi, and he says, listen, this is what we have in Christ. Look, based on this, I'm a joyful believer. Fill it up. Fulfill ye my joy, that you be like-minded. Let there be a unity. Let there be a unity of mind, of mind, of love, and of soul. Now, can that take place? Yes. It can. And I believe as we go further and further into times where we could see persecution, the Lord will take and use that to purify us. But we don't have to wait. He says, fulfill ye my joy. Look what we could do. Look at verse 3. Write this down. Look what we should do. Look what we should do. Let nothing be done through strife or vain glory. We know what the word strife means. That's fighting. It's very simple. Vain glory literally means, it's made up of two Greek words that mean empty pride. Let nothing be done by that. There's no one that should ever get into this pulpit with an idea that they're better than anybody else. There's no Sunday school teacher that should have that. No Christian, period. Why? Because you and I have nothing, absolutely nothing, that we didn't get from Jesus Christ. Amen? Now, why is this important? Because of the calling on our life. See, this is what the Apostle Paul is building on from chapter 1. Striving together for the faith of the gospel. Paul's focus was on his calling. But not just his calling. Paul's focus was on the calling of the body of Christ and all the churches that he had helped plant and that he loved and he prayed for. That is what was important to him. Let's just take a few more minutes. I got to at least get past the first page of my notes. Can we do that? All right. Lowliness, humbleness, and humility. I love what Brother Jack Treiber said, Pastor Jack Treiber said when it comes to regarding humility. He says, humility isn't thinking highly of yourself. It isn't thinking lowly of yourself. You're not thinking of yourself at all. Because you've emptied self of self. That's why this is so important. Because you know what? I don't know about you, But I've got a flesh that keeps wanting to resurrect. I've got an old nature that still wants to have its say. No wonder Paul said, I die daily. I think there's a couple of connotations to that verse, but that's one of them. I die daily. I must die daily. And I don't know about you, but I have a tough time with that. How many of you, when somebody cuts you off when you're driving, all of a sudden the old nature goes, whoa! Or they run into your SUV. Yeah, just so many things. Now, it's interesting, this word, and I love word studies. When this was written, the word, the Greek word for humility, to the world had the idea of groveling. But it's amazing. It's just like the word grace. That when the Lord took it, when God guided and had some of these words brought into the scripture, what he did with these words, Christ took humility and he made it so much more. How? By his life. And that's why we're going to see, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Verse 4, and we'll stop here. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. That word look is not just, you know, just gazing out. It means to fix the attention upon with desire for and interest in. This is the idea. And I'll use myself for this. Again, your calling is your calling. You empty yourself. This is God's work. When you look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others, it means this. When I'm in the pulpit up here, and when a Sunday school teacher is teaching, or you're giving the gospel to someone, you are setting aside your own interests. When you are serving others, you're setting aside your own interest. You could be doing something else. You could be doing something else. My interest right now, with this view in mind, my interest right now is for you to hear the Holy Spirit speaking to you about what God's Word says. I don't want to sound, I'm not up here saying, boy, I hope I sound good. This is not jokes. This is not stories. This is Scripture. I want Larry to have a passion for the things of God. I know Larry's excited already. We got Master's men coming. Can't hold him back. But you understand? See, there are some things in here about having the mind of Christ that if we don't get this, we might as well sell the property and shut down. Because that's why we exist. There's an enemy that is teaching his people, you can indulge yourself, you can do everything, and you can tell people that preach this rotten book, you can tell them what to do, where to go and what to do when they get there. I mean, there's real hate. We've got to preach the truth in love. So we need to have a mind. So there's an approach that we need to have. There's an approach. And Paul tells us this. And then there's an appeal. And I'll just tell you what the appeal is. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And we'll take this up next Sunday night. We have so much in Christ. There's so much at stake. Get a vision of the lost. Get a vision of what we're here for. Like I said, and I'm going to probably mess this up, but I loved that quote that was in the last slide that I used last Sunday morning that William Carey said. He said, I'm not afraid of failure. I'm afraid of succeeding in something that doesn't matter, in things that don't matter. I don't want a big church. My Savior wants a godly church. He builds the church, but He builds it with obedient people. Let's get a passion for that before it's too late. I've got a son-in-law that I'm still praying for, and a daughter. I don't know, you know, I hope and pray that she's saved, but I, you know, and the grandkids. We've all got people that we're praying for. We've got to be a witness wherever we are. Let's just understand Paul's approach to this. Read it again for yourself. And say, okay, what am I willing to lay on the line? Let's stand for prayer. Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, we come to You. And I pray that this week, that You would take us and direct us, help us to meditate on truth that we have heard tonight. Help us to remember, understand what we could do, what we should do. And then, Lord, may we hear the appeal of Paul. Let this mind be in You. Let us think about that, study it, read it ahead of time. Lord, we need to be a testimony. This world, this nation has grown cold in large part because we haven't done what we've been called to do. Pastors have not done. I have not done too many times what we're called to do. Lord, we've got no other choice. We either quit or we step forward. Lord, I pray that we would step forward. And I pray this in our Savior's name, and so glad that we can do it so. Amen.